Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. On today's show, is LeBron's legacy about to take a big hit? Plus, Steven Jackson looks ahead to where Kyrie and KD could wind up this summer. And after Kyler Murray reportedly bombed in interviews at the Combine, should NFL teams be wary of the Oklahoma quarterback? Skip Shannon. Let's get to it.
The Lakers will try to keep their slim playoff hopes alive tonight at home against the Nuggets. LA has lost three in a row and are 5.5 games out of a playoff spot. The losses have put LeBron's streak of 13 straight seasons with a playoff appearance in major jeopardy. We're joined by FS1 NBA analyst Steven Jackson. All right, good to have you with us. But Shannon,
yes.
I'm going to go to you first. How would missing the playoffs affect LeBron's legacy?
It wouldn't affect it all to me. I mean,
a little?
No. I love how we do everything we possibly can to excuse Jordan not making the playoff in his final 2 years. And I get it. Everybody say, well, Magic never missed the playoffs. Well, Magic never played with less than 3 Hall of Famers. Bird never missed the playoffs. He never played with less than 4 Hall of Famers. Tell me the guy on the roster currently that's going to be all NBA moving forward. Tell me the guy that's on the roster right now that's going to be in the Hall of Fame. And I just wait. Oh, yeah, that many. Not. Look, I get it.
On which roster?
On the Lakers roster.
Right now?
Right now.
Rondo.
Rondo, I was going to say Rondo.
You think Rondo will go to the Hall of Fame?
Possibly.
Yeah.
If you see the people, some people that's in the Hall of Fame,
yeah,
they definitely deserve it.
But when those guys were playing with
those kids, who knows what they might do?
It's just the
they might take off.
Let me ask you a question.
It's early.
What can I do you? Where would you rank Kareem? What do you say, Kareem? You think Kareem is okay? Yeah.
Kareem.
You think Kareem
top
okay?
Top 3 to me.
Top 3.
Guess who he played with? Magic. So you can understand why they would make James Worthy. Is he in the Hall of Fame? What about McAdoo? What about McHale, Parrish, Dennis Johnson, Nate Archibald, Bill Walton? Come on, Skip Bayless, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
I didn't say a word yet. I haven't even spoken.
Because
can you name one player Michael played with at Washington?
Exactly.
Not one.
But I can name old Scottie Pippen and Dennis Rodman. You know Dennis Rodman led the league in rebounding all 3 years he was in Chicago?
And your point is?
The point is he had Hall of Famers. And when he didn't have a Hall of Famer, guess where he was?
He was 38 and 39. He'd been off for 3 years. He'd been gone from basketball.
Even at that age, he still wasn't in year 16. That was year 13, year 14. LeBron James is in year 16 with 8 straight finals on his resume, sprinkling a couple of Olympics, and da-da, here we are. Still giving you 27-8-8.
I'm glad you yawned because those are roll out of bed numbers for LeBron.
Right.
That's what he does. He just rolls. He yawns and rolls out of bed, and he goes 27-8-8.
Am I surprised they're not in the playoffs? I thought the Lakers would be better. I really thought the Lakers would be better. But then the injury bug started. It hit him. It hit Rondo. It hit Lonzo. And now Kuzma. And now Ingram. And now Stevenson. And now Chandler. Yeah, come on. But when we look at a stack, this is not a really good team now.
Not a good team at all. And no, people shouldn't be upset that they didn't make the playoffs. I mean, I think if anybody had a rude awakening, it's LeBron. Because everybody was telling him the Western Conference is a different monster. Now, experience is the best teacher, and he's seeing it's a different monster. But at the same time, guys that know the game, we knew it was a possibility that they'll be in this situation, you know, with the young team they have. But I'm going to say this, and I'm going to leave it alone. Keep that same energy because the Lakers won't be the same team next year.
Okay.
Keep it.
So, does it taint his legacy that he missed
Not
the playoffs?
At all.
Well, obviously, Kobe did miss the playoffs the year after Shaq was run out of town by Kobe, right?
Okay.
So, let's look at Kobe's teammates in that year they missed the playoffs. They went 34 and 48.
Right.
Not good.
Right.
Okay. Caron Butler was the second scorer. Lamar Odom was on that team, third scorer. You remember the immortal Chucky Atkins, Chris Mim, Jermaine Jones, Devin George. That's what you got to work with. Not a great team. A team that I would have looked at before the year and said, I don't know. That's in the West.
They'll play hard, but yeah.
I'm not sure about that. Then they bounced back, and they did make the playoffs the next 2 years, but they went out quickly and unceremoniously to the Phoenix Suns in the first round.
What? You better tell me Kobe lost in the first round?
Yeah, and he had one pout game where he just...
We didn't shoot the ball?
Yeah, people were all over him.
He had too much,
so he said, today I'm not going to
shoot. You know what, Stacks? He had a lot in common with Michael Jordan. Because you know Michael Jordan went out in the first round. He went out in the first round. Went the old bad, but the big three. Wah wah, get up out of here. Wah wah, get up out of here.
Are you talking about the same guy who went 6-0 in the finals with 6 MVPs in the finals?
Hold on.
He can't be. He can't be.
Well, yes, I'm talking about him. I'm talking about the one that the bad boy Pistons. The bad boy Pistons had him out there crying. You know, had Scottie Pippen talking about he got a migraine, didn't want to see Robin in my horn.
I think they're turning down your lights.
They're silencing you.
What God said, turn the lights off.
Talk about that, Skip. Talk about that. How the bad boy Pistons put him on. Put him over his knee for 3 years. Wop, wop, wop. Now come back next year with a little more firepower. Wop, wop, wop.
Interesting.
Did it happen? You was covering the team. I want to know, Skip Bayless. Tell the truth now.
So the only way this taints LeBron's legacy is it just completely undercuts and disqualifies your argument that he's greater than Michael Jordan. That's all it does. Because at age 34, which is LeBron's age right now, Michael Jordan won another scoring title and was first-team all-defense at age 34. And obviously, they went on to win another championship, their sixth, and another finals MVP, his sixth.
Skip, okay, we got to stop,
Shannon.
We got to stop. But here's the thing.
That's 34 to 34.
But here's the thing. Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen led the team in assists all those years. Someone else led the team in rebounding all those years. Jordan didn't have to worry about all these other things that LeBron did. But I still want to know why. Washington, he went to the Wizards. Why does that not have an impact on his legacy? He was still Michael Jordan. That's what you're telling me. He the GOAT. Now, the GOAT's supposed to drag anything. GOATs eat anything. So why couldn't he get it there? But this old big horn sheep, what would he be doing in year? And think about it. Hold on, Skip. You keep telling me when he was in Washington, that was year 13 and 14. LeBron James is in year 16. LeBron James, year 13 and 14,
NBA
Finals.
Age 38 and 39 in Washington.
What got to do with anything if he the guy that you said he is?
But what player that's the face of the league won MVP and defensive player?
But
that's hard to do, Shannon.
LeBron James should have won the deep. Should have won
MVP. He got to play defense first.
The year Marc Gasol won it, you know LeBron's supposed to have got that award stacked.
Right?
And no.
Did LeBron not bring this year upon himself? Because we still hear that he was the one who wanted playmakers, not shooters.
I don't
know
what LeBron. LeBron out of his mind.
Okay, he was out of his mind, but that's what he wanted. He give him a Rondo, give him a Lance.
No.
Who else can make plays?
Skip,
I don't know.
If you look at LeBron James' career, LeBron James has really played with two playmakers. That's Kyrie Irving and Dwayne Wade. And even when he had those guys, what was he surrounded with? Shooters.
Yeah. Okay.
So now all of a sudden you're going to get year 16 and talk about you don't want shooters, you want playmakers?
Okay.
Okay, where are they? Where are the playmakers? Okay.
So, I don't know.
He wanted playmakers.
Yeah. Michael Beasley's in China, I think, right?
I talked to him yesterday.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Is he all right?
Yeah, he's doing good.
Good. Shout out to Michael Beasley. I love Michael Beasley.
I mean, where are the playmakers, Skip?
Okay. So, a year ago, not even a year ago, but in the offseason, LeBron had chances. He could have gone to Philly and joined forces with that team. Great things would have happened. He could have gone to Houston, joined forces with that team. Great things would have happened. He joined forces with Hollywood. He wanted Hollywood, and he got Hollywood. And I was shocked the day it happened because I said, he's going to do this without a bona fide co-star, like a second scorer.
Sure.
Like, really? You're going to do that? Well, I guess he's going to do that. And then he brought some of this on himself because, obviously, at the trade deadline, he and Rich Paul attempted to power play their way into Anthony Davis. And they were willing to trade all the kids, clean out the locker room, all the kids.
Yeah.
And it just detonated that locker room. It never
they
was
the same.
They couldn't
handle it.
Okay. So is that on LeBron a little bit? Yeah, a little bit's on LeBron. And then the way it happened this year, he is to the point where he just doesn't want to play defense. And you say he has to sort of conserve his energy on defense.
No such thing.
Do you play defense in Big Three? Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Have you always played defense? It was your calling card.
Yes.
That's half court stacks.
Come on.
Huh?
That's half court.
You play defense, man.
But I play defense in the league. I played on both ends. I started the two-way player stuff.
But I need you to tell you what. I need you to play two-way, but I need you to give me 27, 8, and 8.
You're right. You're right. It ain't easy as it looks.
Okay. So LeBron, much of this year, has played that one-man zone. He just goes and stands under the basket and looks as he watches. And he won't even contest. He won't help. And I'm like, come on, LeBron, set a tone, because the kids aren't going to play defense if you don't set any tone on defense.
True. It's hard.
And they were a bad defensive team, and it killed them in the end. It's killed them for the last five or six games, because they just they play no defense.
That's what happens when you don't play defense, and you allow the Milwaukee to go on a 15-2 run to close out the game, and you lose by teams.
No, so, what you need to do, Lou, is bring them in the film sessions, make sure you point out LeBron is not doing what he's supposed to do in all those film sessions, but I'm sure he's not doing
it. I don't think they're doing
that. But here's the thing. There's only a handful of coaches that can do that.
Greg Popovich.
Greg Popovich, Pat Riley, some of the all-time greats.
Why Luke can't do it? You the coach.
You don't know good well.
He should be able to, but he can't.
I'm not Steve, Greg Popovich. If I was a coach, I would do it, and LeBron deal with it.
Let me ask you a question. How long do you think you'll hold that job after
that? It ain't about that. It's about me doing my job.
And guess what? You want to have a job to do, right?
I'm not worried about that. If I get fired doing my job, I can live with it.
Okay. You know how it works, Dak.
I know how it works now. I know. I'm talking to you, but I know how it works.
This is a real for player league. Now, in the NFL, Skip, you know you can do that. Coaches call.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick has been very well documented. You don't call out everybody. It doesn't matter.
I got it. My other issue with LeBron just this year is lack of leadership, because there were years in Cleveland he wasn't a good leader. He was a great leader. When they came back from 3-1 down, he led that team.
Right.
He was the driving force, and Kyrie got to go along for the ride, even though Kyrie was the closer. He was not the leader. Mm-hmm. The alpha was LeBron.
Right.
This year, for whatever reason, LeBron checked out on this team. He just didn't love it from the start, and he distanced himself from the kids. Like, don't associate me with them. You want to sit at the very end of the bench.
I think the biggest mistake a guy can make, Skip, is that you have a leadership style in one area, and you feel you can take that exact style to another area.
Maybe.
When I was in Denver, Skip, you led one way. When you go to Baltimore, you have to lead an entirely different way. And I think LeBron James is that he thought everybody's going to respond the same way in L.A. like they did to him in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And as you go and you live and you learn, you understand that, okay, sometimes you got to praise a guy. Sometimes you hug, put your arm around a guy and like, hey, bro, it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. Next time, there's some guys you got to kick in the butt. But you have to understand the individuality of every single player because it's not one size fit all in a leadership style.
And then too, where he went wrong is, you know, I got to be real and I love LeBron, but where he went wrong was he made it obvious that he took the back of his best friend who's the agent over his teammates. He sided with him over his teammates, and it backfired.
Right.
He should have stayed with his teammates, let his friend do his job, and if however that worked, he's still with his team,
so it didn't matter. Tell me what you want him to say.
Want him to come in the locker room and say, look, regardless what's going on, I'm with y'all. Let him know that. Let them know that. But look, they got to hear from you because all they're hearing from everybody else is they're getting traded.
But here's the thing. You and I both know.
Young guys, Shannon.
I know. I agree with you. Mm. But you know that what they saying. This dude, the same agent that you have, he has. Mm. What you talking about you with us? It's kind of like, Stack, when you tell somebody something. Now, you only told this one person, and it gets out. Bro, I swear I ain't told nobody.
You're like,
dude, only person knew was me and you.
Right.
And I definitely didn't tell. What you think them guys looking at? Bro, I'm riding with y'all. I don't know where that coming from. Hey, I don't want no...
It wouldn't be as bad, though, if he would have put himself in that position with them. Mm-hmm. Let me know I'm with y'all, okay?
So...
Y'all can get traded, I can get traded. You know, just make it feel like...
You know what the bottom line takeaway from this whole discussion is? This proves once and for all Michael Jordan is the greatest player.
No, it does. You know what?
You're right.
Stan.
It's over.
Like, bro,
it's over.
Hey.
Period. Understood.
You know what? Hey, you know what LeBron should have done? He's like, you're right. Hey, guys, I'm with y'all. Mm. I don't know where this Anthony Davis coming from. What y'all need to see y'all stuff?
Yeah, now they're trying to play catch up. Okay, Steven, we're going to leave it for now, but you're going to come back later in the show. You guys can continue. No
mercy. Hey guys, Jenny Taft here with a word from TurboTax. It's nice to have a helping hand, especially when it's tax season and that hand is attached to a licensed tax professional. With TurboTax Live, you can talk to real CPAs and EAs on demand who can review your return with you before you file and make sure you get your maximum refund. They can even check your work line by line so you can be confident it's done right. Who knew confidence and peace of mind could be synonymous with taxes? TurboTax Live with CPAs and EAs on demand. See details at TurboTax.com. No
mercy. Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant were on the same court last night as the Celtics blew out the Warriors. There has been a lot of speculation that they'll join forces with the Knicks this summer, but our friend Chris Broussard said this morning on First Things First that they may be having second thoughts. Take a listen.
The dream scenario for the Clippers is Kawhi and KD. And I was told yesterday by a good source, we all know Kyrie and KD are considering the Knicks, right? Mm-hmm. But I was told that they have some apprehensions about New York. Why? Because of the media.
Yes, sir.
Which is, makes all the sense in the world from what we've seen.
Them two together?
That could benefit the Clippers.
Okay, Steven Jackson back with us. What do you make of those rumors?
Well, at the end of the day, wherever they sign, they won't be getting asked the same questions they're getting asked now.
Right.
First of all. Okay? And regardless where they sign and where they go, somebody's going to ask them a dumb question and they're going to get upset.
Right.
Yep. Okay? That's going to happen.
When,
wherever they sign, it's going to happen. Okay? Mm-hmm. Let's just say that. Now, they talk a lot. Everybody know they're good friends. Nobody knows where they're going, but we all know that they want to play together. Where they're going, I don't know, but it'll be good to see them together in the Clippers. I think that'll be great to see two stars go to the Clippers. In L.A., with what LeBron has going on, I think that'll be great for L.A., yeah.
When I look at it, look, if you don't like dealing with the media, because ain't no media like New York, none, zero, nothing in the world, if that's a different animal, that's a different beast. And if you think asking a dumb question, but see, asking a dumb question in Boston or getting asked a dumb question in Golden State is one thing, and you reacting like we've seen these guys react. They ask you a dumb question in New York and you respond that way, they're going to run that thing for the next week. You're going to be in the paper. Now, here's the thing, Skip. Look, I think it would be very, I think KD is, would be very, very reluctant to join LeBron and with the Lakers for the simple fact of his legacy. He's chasing LeBron. I don't want to link up with him. I want to try and beat him. Kyrie realizes how good he had it because LeBron let him be him. You want to go get 25 a night? Go get it, bro. You good.
True.
So now I can be off the court
and
no Kyrie. Ain't got to, when he say he wanted playmakers, I think he meant something like Kyrie. But the guy that gave playmakers, they ain't Kyrie. He can be off the court for stretches, Skip, and Kyrie can dance and do his thing because we know Kyrie can dance with the best of them with the basketball.
Oh, my goodness.
So with that being said, look, I do agree with Chris Broussard. I don't believe Kawhi is re-signing with Toronto. And I think his ideal scenario would have probably been play with the Lakers, provided LeBron didn't beat him to the punch and join the Lakers. So I can see a scenario with KD and Kawhi. And then what did that leave Kyrie Irving? Right back where it all started.
Yep.
Put the band back together. We tried it. We went our separate ways. And it, you know, did okay. Had a gold album. LeBron had a platinum album. Went to the finals last year. But ain't nothing like what we had when we were together.
So you're saying LeBron and Kyrie only
the
Lakers?
No, LeBron, Kyrie, and AD.
And AD?
Yeah, because KD ain't chasing LeBron. Let me tell you that. He's not chasing LeBron.
That's what I'm talking about.
What do you mean by chasing? Like
LeBron's chasing Michael Jordan?
Oh, okay, I got
KD is not chasing LeBron. Okay. KD in his own world. He just love hooping.
But you know what? He should go with LeBron then, because LeBron going to get all ask all the questions. He get to fade in the background and just hoop.
We know that's not possible. That's not possible.
I still believe there's a side of Kevin Durant that would like the idea of I'm going to go help save LeBron's legacy to provide him another championship. And obviously, if Kyrie and Kevin have become kind of a package deal, they're almost like become best friends. Is that fair? Close. Yeah. Then Kyrie and Kevin with the Lakers. That I wouldn't rule that out. I could see that as a possibility, a distinct possibility. Kevin's not above that, not thinking like that. So the other thing that I'm going to caution people on is Kyrie and Kevin have become so close that it looked like at the All-Star game they were actually staging things to plant seeds in the media of, oh, we're going to do this or we're going to do that because they don't like the media. So they said, let's just toy with the media. Let's jack them around. Let's make them think this or think that. And so now we have until July 1st, and those two are going to conspire to mislead the media at every juncture that they can. I also occasionally find both Kevin and Kyrie are deep thinkers, but they're still sometimes childlike to me in that they're all over the map. And they wake up one morning and it's like, I'm done with this. And the next morning, you know, it's not so bad here. So to me, they're going to change their minds 1,000 times before July 1st.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
I can see that happening.
No question.
But, yeah, look, Kyrie is never going to have it as good as he had it with O'Bron. Hmm. Phillip Bailey had to realize that when he left Earth, Wind & Fire. He left, tried to do the thing on his own. Hmm. He had to come back. You remember?
Hey, they still got some time left. Boston can still go on a run, and we can be saying different stuff about them at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm. So I still don't believe he's going back to Boston.
Yeah, yeah. I don't. I honestly, I don't either.
I don't either.
I don't care what happens. I don't think he's going back to Boston.
I'm just getting a stronger and stronger feeling. Kevin Durant is not going to stay in Golden State. Could that change depending on what the outcome is this year? Sure.
Yeah.
All I know is AD going to L.A.
I know KD want that bag, though. He can get that bag right there in Golden State.
He can get it.
The biggest bag.
Yeah.
But
he deserved the bag.
But see, when you make that kind of money and with what he has going on in Silicon Valley, he let somebody run that, he going to get the bag coming.
Yeah, you can go anywhere, but right here in the West, where he at, I think he like it out here. The weather's different.
That weather up there ain't better than that weather down here. Northern California weather ain't got nothing like old Southern California. I know.
Not quite the same.
You know what? There are parts up there.
It's cold up there right now.
But in the East Bay, it's beautiful. Man.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It ain't beautiful like
it's
Malibu.
Cold. It's cold.
It ain't
right
like
now,
Beverly
though.
Hills in Bel Air.
It's cold in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Real cold.
It is. What,
yes,
where I'm at, old Bel Air, where I'm at. Huh. I ain't in Bel Air. I'm stopped there.
You're close.
I'm close.
You're
close.
You're
I'm walking this.
Blocks.
Yeah,
I'm walking this. You up on the hill in Bel Air.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Living life.
You know?
Life is good for you.
Yeah. It ain't bad. It ain't bad.
I'm out on L.A. weather now because LeBron ruined it. He brought Cleveland.
He ruined it.
He brought L.A.
Skip.
It's his fault. Am I right?
Yeah. I mean, it's been a weird winter.
It's rained more in the last, since in 2019 than it rained all in 2016, 17, and 18.
I think than in the last 50 years.
Yeah.
Because I was here for 3 years in the 70s, and I swear it rained one day in 3 years.
Yeah.
Now it rains every day.
Well, now at least we know why.
It's LeBron's fault.
It makes sense. Right?
Bringing the rain.
But guess what? Sunshine ahead.
Yeah.
My grandpa used to always say, boy, sunshine follows rain.
Trouble really?
It's coming.
Yep. He said that?
Yeah, it's coming.
When's it coming?
Oh, when we get AD, Kyrie.
Oh.
We're going to get AD, Kyrie.
KD.
No, we can't have all that, Skip. It won't be fair.
No, the commissioner would veto that one.
It'd be different.
We all know they don't like players coming to L.A., so they will do something to that. Yeah.
Okay, that's the sunshine we're going to be waiting for. All right, Stephen, thank you for joining us today. No mercy. The Celtics had lost 5 of 6 heading to Golden State last night. And before the game, Jaylen Brown called the environment around the team, quote, toxic. But they put all of that aside and handed the Warriors their worst home loss ever under Steve Kerr. Boogie Cousins was clearly frustrated, got a technical in the fourth quarter, and Gordon Hayward had one of his best games of the year with 30 points for Boston. After the game, Kyrie Irving talked about the Celtics' much-needed win. Take a listen.
Helped us out. You know, we needed it. We needed it. It was just, we were going to get to a point where we were just going to get tired of, you know, fighting each other, fighting, you know, the outside world, and it doesn't really matter. So we just want to come out here and just play basketball. This is our sanctuary, and we have to do everything to protect it. We can't let anybody infiltrate this. So it's my job to show these guys what it's like to be at that type of level on a consistent basis. And, you know, with my attitude and with my effort and being able to give confidence to these guys, it's just as important as, you know, me, you know, being who I'm supposed to be. So as long as that my teammates are feeling good, then, you know, we're in a good place.
Okay, Shannon, was last night more about the Celtics or Warriors?
Warriors. Skip, they're going through the motion. It was a bad night. Klay didn't play, I think, for the second or third game. He's their best on-ball defender. Kevin Durant's not going to shoot 5 for 16. This is their fifth 20-point home loss this year. In the Steve Kerr era prior to this year, they'd only had 2 such losses. I'm not overly concerned with the Warriors, Skip, because if you remember, they lost 7 of the last 10 last season. They had some injuries. Steph Curry missed some time. KD missed some time. I'm not worried about them. I still believe the biggest threat to them is the Houston Rockets. We're going to talk about that a little later. And here's what. This is the thing I'm not going to buy about the Celtics. So what am I supposed to do? Am I going to believe that Gordon Hayward is going to give me 36-3 on a nightly basis? Because remember, he had about 25 in his previous 5 or 6 games.
Mm-hmm.
So is this what I'm going to get from Gordon Hayward on a regular basis? No, I don't believe so. They're still trying to figure this thing out with Boogie Cousins. Boogie is a liability on defense, Skip. Because if you look at it last night, they kept him in the pick and roll. That's all they did. He's really the only big that they have. Mm-hmm. This is why they're interested in signing Bogut. Because if Boogie gets in foul trouble, he goes to the bench. Got to bring in Kevin Looney, Joit Bell. Really? Mm-hmm. So I don't. I'm not overly concerned with them, Skip. They get Clay back. They'll be fine. Steph played okay last night, but KD had an off night. KD was 5 of 16, minus 20. Everybody was minus 20. But the concerning thing from me, Skip, and it's been getting progressively worse as the years have gone by, their bench is bad now. Their bench used to be really, really good because they can come at you with Livingston. They can come at you with Iguodala. You remember when Barbosa was there, they had the Brazilian blur. Mm-hmm. Skip, their bench was everybody minus, Jordan Bell. Mm-hmm. Minus 17, minus 26, minus 17, minus 12, minus 13. Where when they had leads, the starters would lead the game with a lead, the bench would expand on it. If the starters left with a lead, behind, the bench would come in and cut into it, maybe even have the lead when the starters return. They're not there. Skip, this. What am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to believe the Celtics are cured? Just early in the day, Jaylen Brown said the environment was toxic. Mm-hmm. So after one game, now all is forgiven, all is well. And, you know, Gordon Hayward said, you know, that long, we needed that long pass, right? Well, damn, they've been driving the bus? So is this their first trip, Skip? I just need to know, is this their first time on a plane this year? They've been traveling
by... fly cross country, figure out your problem.
So I guess they've been on trains and automobiles prior to taking this...
And if I know this group, they didn't say a word to each other the whole flight.
Yeah.
They all had their headphones on.
How do I go from toxic to singing Kumbaya all in 24 hours?
Mm-hmm.
No, Skip, this is about the Warriors. You know that. I know that.
I do know that. This is all about the Warriors. And yet, to your point, you don't have Clay last night. There's no Sean Livingston last night. There's no Kevon Looney last night. And Iggy and McKinney had injury. They're hampered by injuries and were iffy for the game. But to your point, you want to talk about an alarming trend for a defending champ? When you have five home losses by 20-plus, and those are Boston last night by 33, the Thunder won by 28 there. The Lakers, as we remember, it was the last we saw of the good LeBron Lakers.
Right.
They won by 26 on Christmas Day. Milwaukee won by 23. These are all at Golden State.
Right.
And Toronto won by 20. That's just wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's bad sign. That shows you this team has a new factor in its equation, and it's a collapse factor that when you least expect it, it will just collapse on you. It will mail it in from the tip and it will just go south. They were trailing at halftime 73-48 at home. That's bad. And this was by far the worst home loss they had ever suffered under Steve Kerr.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Bad sign. And remember, this Boston team came in off the Houston debacle loss, where they shot 8 for 28 from 3-point, including 1 for 13 in the first half against Houston on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And then look what they did last night, 14 of 34. And Steve Kerr called out his team and said, we were jogging back on defense. And in this league, said Steve Kerr, you cannot jog.
No.
You have to run. You have to cut hard on offense. You have to make your cuts. And they just weren't into it. Did they not take Boston seriously enough? It's possible that they just thought they could mail this one in and get away with it.
Yeah. Are we there yet?
Yeah.
When you've been to as many finals as they have.
I got it.
They won the last two finals. They're like, let's just get to the playoffs, and then we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. We'll see. Yeah, we'll lose a game. Yeah, we'll lose a game here or there.
Mm-hmm.
But let me ask you this. And they're asking, do you believe there's another team out there that can beat us 4 times in 2 weeks? Because we don't. Draymond is not the Draymond. Maybe he's injured, Skip.
Mm-hmm.
But Draymond is playing awful. He's playing terrible. Maybe he has an injury. Maybe the situation where he and KD is still on his mind because KD leaves, everybody's going to blame Draymond.
I agree.
Boogie is good off. Boogie is still not healthy. I mean, that was a severe injury for a man his size.
Mm-hmm.
He's terrible at defense. Boogie's always played terrible at defense. So now they just keep him in the pick and roll. So what's he going to do? Is he going to show? He going to sink? What is he going to do?
I love DeMarcus, and I said before that draft, he's better than John Wall, but he doesn't have defense in his DNA.
No.
It's just not in him to do it. He tries, but it's just not his thing.
No. No.
And that's why they desperately reached out to Australia for 37-year-old Bogut, because he will defend at a high level.
He's a
rim protector.
Yes.
So they're thinking, gee, we might end up being better off with Bogut going into our biggest games and certainly into the postseason.
Well, the stats say that they're better with Boogie off the court.
Yeah.
But he gives you so much firepower offensively. He can rebound the basketball because they're not a very good rebounding team. Mm-hmm. But you don't need to rebound the team when the ball going through the net, swishing every other shot.
You know, he might end up being icing on a cake that already had thick icing.
Right.
Like it's already – they didn't need the scoring.
Right.
They need more toughness and rebounding.
Right.
And Draymond's not providing as much toughness in the paint as he used to.
Yeah, I just don't believe Kevin Durant's going to shoot 5 for 16 on a regular basis, go 0
he
for 5.
He wasn't into it. And now this team has to wonder, is he into it at all? Is he mentally checking out? Is he somewhere else? Is he here or there in his mind other than Golden State?
Well, how many more times, Skip, where they have 17, 18 games? How many more games? Okay, they're 44 and, okay, they got 18 games, 44 and 20. How many more games you think this year of the 18 they will shoot 40% from the field and 23% from the three-point line?
Well, they live and die from that three-point line. And as you said, 23%, that they'll probably lose those
games. If you let the team shoot 41%,
you're
going to lose. You let their team shoot 51% from the floor, you're going to lose.
Yep.
Absolutely going to lose.
And by the way, I thought Kevin Durant took a little shot back at Steve Kerr because Kerr had a quote after the game. It starts with a passion and anger and intensity, and it wasn't there tonight. Like he's saying, winning basketball at this level takes passion, anger, and intensity. And Kevin fired back that, I'm paraphrasing his quote, but he said, I thought it was about joy because the buzzword from Kerr has always been, we have to play with joy.
Right.
So he says, now we're supposed to play with anger? Well, maybe Kevin's saying, I'm getting tired. His speeches are wearing out for me.
Right.
I'm not listening. I'm not hearing what he's saying anymore. Right.
And the Celtics bench were unbelievable. Mm-hmm. They got 64 points. Now, their bench is 10th in scoring. You going to get this on a nightly basis, Skip? Now, if you tell me this is what it's going to be, okay, I don't even need 30. If you're going to tell me Gordon Hayward's going to give me, say, 15 consistently off the bench.
Yep.
Okay, then I might. Okay, Celtics might be for real. Jaylen Brown has been pretty good all year. He just believes he's a starter. I mean, did y'all see what I did last year, that last stretch, and in the playoffs? Mm-hmm. I need to be starting more. But, this is all Golden State. They're like, are we there yet? Wake me up when the playoffs start.
Yeah, Gordon Hayward scored more points last night than he did in the previous 5 games combined.
Yes.
Ooh.
And then he did a soul-searching interview with Jackie McMullen, which was up on ESPN.com yesterday. And I think it's like an unburdening, like a release of all your innermost demons and thoughts. I'm just not a fan, but I wasn't before the draft.
Right.
I just didn't love him, and I was astounded at the money that Boston threw at him because everybody was.
I was shocked.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, though, Skip. Boston had to throw that money. They wanted him.
Miami, a lot of people wanted him.
Utah wanted him. Yeah. I agree with you. I just don't see. At the 3 position, he's probably the 10th, maybe 12th now.
Yeah.
And after the injury, might not even be top 15.
I wouldn't
even. He's way down there. Mm-hmm. Because you got to go past a lot of threes from Paul George to LeBron to KD to Kawhi before you even think about reaching him.
Yep. Can he give you this once in a blue moon? Maybe a blue moon.
Yeah. Is that a rare
maybe
sort of
a green
moon? Yeah, exactly. I was going to say blues happen blue moon, as a song. Wasn't that a song, Skip? I mean, you would know about that old.
Yeah, I can.
No, I don't go back as far.
Yeah, you do.
I
Blue
don't.
Moon. I know that song even. It was in Greece.
Yeah, you strike me as a.
Yeah,
I know.
You strike me as an Elvis Presley fan.
No, I am not.
Now I'm the one who knows
not.
Music around
You're
here.
You're the country
That's
fan.
A first.
I'm not. No.
That
no,
is
I'm
a first.
From the country. I'm
not
a country fan.
I don't
fan.
Like country music.
once in a while. It depends what you're doing. But
no mercy.
Kyler Murray could be the number one overall pick next month, but he apparently didn't leave a good first impression with a lot of teams at the combine. Former NFL GM Charlie Casserly, who now works for NFL Network, said the comments he heard about Kyler were the worst he's ever heard about a highly rated quarterback. The Heisman Trophy winner reportedly didn't do well in interviews that emphasized leadership, study habits, and board work. Right now, Kyler is the co-favorite to be the top pick with Ohio State defensive end Nick Bosa. Okay, we are joined by FS1 NFL analyst D'Angelo Hall. So, D'Angelo, I want to get your take on this. Yeah. Do you have any concern taking Kyler number one?
I mean, I got a little bit of concern, especially hearing this. And, you know, Charlie Cashley is a well-respected guy in the game. And so, you know, to hear that Kyler Murray didn't impress people like I thought he would, you know, it is a little troubling. But on the reverse of that, like, what was the situation? What were the teams? Because, you know, I've been in those interview processes as a player and as a kind of front office guy. And I've seen guys who come in there knowing this team's picking 23. I'm a top five pick. You know, I'm just kind of going through the motions. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So some guys go in that meeting going through the motions like, yes, sir. Yeah, no. You know, kind of very mum with their answers and just, you know, kind of nonchalant, like, you know, why am I here? Y'all are wasting my time. Mm-hmm. Now, if that was Kyler's approach, then that's a bad approach. Because as you know, anybody, if they fall in love with you, they will do anything to get you. And so, you know, I think the advice for him should have been, hey, look, go in there and let's wow everyone. We already have a lot of marks against who you are as a, because of your height and other things. So let's go in there and let's wow everybody and let's not give them anything to talk about. Because through this whole process, I would have thought that your agent would have given you the playbook. That's the thing that confuses me with why kids don't excel at the Wonderlic or excel at, you know, drills at the combine or even interviews. They've given you the roadmap. Everyone, every agent who goes in and recruits you gives you his spiel on why you should pick him. And part of that is, hey, we have some of the best combine prep guys. We can get you We can get you through the interview coach.
And they get the practice on the Wonderlic test that you're going to actually take at the combine.
Yeah, and so I just, you know, I'm just a little confused on if Kyler really was in there trying to woo guys or if he kind of knew, you know, I'm going to Arizona anyway.
Okay, but remember, his agent is Cliff Kingsbury's agent.
I did know that,
A whole new game that you're playing, right?
For me, the concerns that I have with is physical. It has nothing to do with what Charlie said that may or may not be true. I worry about a 5'10 guy that's basically that's probably going to play the first part of his career, 4 or 5 years, at barely 200 pounds. Can he withstand the physical rigors of playing quarterback in the NFL, taking that pounding, 16 games, a couple of preseason games, every year for the first 5 years? Those are my concerns. It has nothing to do. Skip, I've known some guys that were great on the ball. Oh, you call a play? Oh, if we get this coverage, this is where we're going to go with the ball. If we get that coverage, this is where we're going to go with the ball. Mm-hmm. Or we're going to check out and do that. But couldn't play dead in a horror movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
So which one do you want? Give me the guy. He might not be the greatest. He might not be Rain Man on the blackboard. Mm. Can he play football, Skip? Mm. That's what I need to know. I don't need to know all this, no X equal pi square and all that other foolishness. Can he play football? And if he can play football, give me that guy.
And sometimes a blank canvas isn't necessarily bad. Because if I'm Coach Kingsbury and I can get a blank canvas as opposed to, and I don't know Josh Rosen, but just some of the stories I've heard and some of the things I've seen him say, you know, I could see Coach Kingsbury coming in there trying to show Josh what to do and Josh saying, oh, hold on, I got this. I got this. This is how I watch film, Coach. I can see Kyler's kind of
Jim Moore Jr.
being more moldable.
Kind of butted heads at UCLA.
Correct. By the way, Tony Romo was Rain Man in the TV booth last year, the year before, on the football field. I'm like,
I'm
no,
trying to figure
Tony.
If Tony was that good, Tony. How did he not figure out a couple times that I was sitting in the weeds waiting for him? But he was pretty amazing, I must say.
Yeah, in the booth.
In the booth.
Yes.
In the booth.
I agree. I know you know Charlie Casserly, and he is respected. I thought this came across as out of bounds to me, that these were cheap shots to me. And Jenny said he talked to several teams. I don't know. Did he really talk to several? Yeah. Or was it
specifics.
One? Was it two?
Mm-hmm.
Was it the one or two that Kyler had no use for and no business for? I know enough about him. Jenny has interviewed him many times. Mm-hmm. He doesn't suffer fools lightly. You know, if you don't impress him quickly, he's got no use for you.
Mm-hmm.
If he thinks he's wasting his time, he can act like a jerk to you. He got a little crossways with Dan Patrick in that interview. Mm-hmm. And once you rub him the wrong way, he will rub back.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he is constructed. That's how he leads on the football field. He is all business. If you watch, I watched every snap he took at the University of Oklahoma. He leads with his body language, not with what he's saying. He's not verbal, vocal. Mm-hmm. It's all about how he plays. He is a clutch, big moment playmaker. And when he throws a touchdown pass or runs 70 yards for a touchdown, he drops the football and he doesn't celebrate. He just goes with his teammates back to the bench. He's got a big chip on his shoulder, just like Baker Mayfield, mm-hmm. but he doesn't wear his chip on his sleeve. It comes across as smoldering chip, you know, like he's going to show you. Baker will tell you what he's going to do to you, and then he will show you. Then he'll back it up. But this kid is more quiet. He might come across as a touch shy. He's going to size you up, and if he doesn't mm-hmm. know you, he's going to be a little leery of you. And I don't know what his agent told him to do in mm-hmm. some interviews, if he said, just shut it down for this one because we're not interested in that team.
Yeah.
You also have to be careful because they use it as reconnaissance. It's like reverse psychology where they're going to pick your brain because they know they're not going to take you, but they're going to yeah. have to compete against
yep.
you.
Yep.
What are you made of?
Yep.
What makes you tick? You know, show me something here.
Mm-hmm.
But how in 15 minutes you could conclude that he's not a leader and that he doesn't have good work habits, I don't know, because I'm not sure how that comes across in a 15-minute interview. Help me out.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost impossible. Having sat in those rooms on both ends of the spectrum, it's very hard. Sometimes right. we barely get through one clip, and it's like, you know, the horn's right. blown. So you're kind of like, well, man, you know, right. we didn't get much out of that guy.
Okay.
And so, yeah, you know, I definitely go back to that, like, how much could you really have gotten? Right. And, you know, like I said, Charlie is well-respected. I disagree with a lot of things Charlie Cashley mm-hmm. says
okay.
normally, but I don't know this whole story, you know? I don't know Kyler Murray at all. From what I see, you know, I think the biggest thing for me is I want to see what kind of leader he is. I mm-hmm. think, you know, when I heard Freddie Kitchens talk about Baker Mayfield and the process in which they went through in drafting him, mm-hmm. he was just like, yeah, you know, these guys' numbers are very similar. They might can throw the ball, they might can run. But it's something about Baker, man. Yeah. When he walks in a room, yeah. like, guys rally behind him. Guys want to follow him.
Yeah.
And if that can be Kyler Murray, he can be very, very special because mm-hmm. the things he can do on a field, unmatched.
But, D'Angelo, you knows what goes with some of the stereotypical things that Charlie said. Because
yep.
when you say he's not good on the board mm-hmm. and all you ought to, the man
not
go,
smart.
He's not smart.
Yep.
Well, is he going to prepare? Oh, he's lazy.
Is he lazy?
You know, so I just don't, you have to be really, really careful when you say these things. And,
yep.
and for me, just say, you know, I heard a lot of negative feedback
mm-hmm. yeah.
on Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
You don't have to get into specifics.
But to open that can up.
Right. I talked to 3 or 4 different teams and that interviewed Kyler Murray and the report that I got back from these teams, they weren't all glowing.
Mm-hmm.
There were some red flags that these teams had mm-hmm. have about this young man. But when you start going there, Skip, you know, because we've heard it, Cam and Vince Young.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
it's just a place that I don't think Charlie was, man, this is gonna be malicious. He's just telling you what he heard. But you have to be careful.
1 or 2 or 10.
Or
I don't know. I don't know. I would like to know for sure. Because in the end, the tape does not lie.
Yes.
If you put this tape on, all he did was pull off the greatest statistical year in college football history. And I realize his coach is calling his plays and is in his ear constantly because they're looking to the sideline for the call every yeah. time.
They're going
right?
to call his plays in NFL,
right?
too.
Right? It'll be the same thing. But listen, Kyler can see it and feel it. Trust me. He's low interception rate. He's accurate with the football. All of his gut instincts are correct, and he is pass first. He is not run
yeah,
first.
Yeah, yeah.
He is going to use the quickest feet I've ever seen on a football field to create throwing lanes and time to throw the football. And he can wing it.
Skip believe he can outrun Vic.
Nah. Nah. You see my face?
No.
And it ain't even
well,
close.
I told you.
Even Michael close. Vick said that Vick I mean, can't outrun Lamar Jackson.
I mean, that's what Mike's okay. supposed to say. When I was a young kid, Mike used to always say, D-Hawk, man, you beat me in a race every single time. But then when we start running and he's in the middle of a drill, mm-hmm. I'm trying to get him.
I don't think people. Mike was legit 4-3-3.
Not 4-2.
Mike was legit. Mike can run skip. Yeah,
legit.
I believe Kyler can go 4-2. I just do.
You think so? No way.
I don't see it. I see those little legs, and it kind of gives you that false perception that he's really running really, really fast.
It's not false. I have watched it. He can move.
Jenny, 4-2?
Move. I don't know about 4-2.
Yeah, heck, I ran 4-1, and I'm telling you, that dude ain't running 4-2. Yeah, 4-1. 4-1 at Virginia Tech.
But we're talking about his leadership,
I got Vic's record.
You got 4-1?
Yeah. Yep.
Wait a second. You ran 4-1?
Yep.
What'd you run the combine?
4-3-1. But I wasn't supposed to run. You got to let me tell my story. You got to let me tell my story. I wasn't supposed to run. So, you know, the top-rated guys never run. So all week, I wasn't running. I lifted hard, you know, so my legs were still heavy, didn't taper down, while all the other guys were tapering down because they knew they were going to run. Yeah. Daryl Eto, who was our speed coach at Athletes Performance, came there to work a lot of guys out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was warming up with him, running really fast. And he was like, wow, D-Hall, man, you probably should run. And I'm like, nah, you know, I'm not going to run. My agent said I shouldn't run. So I get in there, and I'm doing all these interviews, and I'm wowing everybody because that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm wowing everybody. And so Coach Vermeil gets in there, and he's like, you know, D'Angelo, why don't you want to run? I'm like, well, coach, you know, my agent told me not to run. I've been lifting through this process, and so, you know, my legs aren't really ready, and he just starts crying. Why wouldn't you run for us? You got all 32 teams here, D'Angelo, and I'm watching him, and I'm tearing up. Okay, coach, I'll run for you, and I ran, so... But wasn't necessary. I didn't even have my shoes. I borrowed somebody's shoes, ran.
4-3-1, you said?
4-3-1.
On a bad day?
Yeah, on a bad
still
day.
Pretty
he said fast
what
guys
you
run fast.
Yeah,
that's 205. Because I had bulked up weight-wise, drinking gallons of water to try to be a little heavier.
I'm still impressed.
Well, you almost pulled a Deion. Deion flew in town that morning, took his pants off, ran 140, said, I'm out.
Yeah, that was a different time. They'd have blacklisted me if I'd have ran and just left.
I just want to read one quote from Lincoln Riley. He was on Dan Patrick today. He said, Kyler was a tremendous leader for us. Tremendous leader, aggressive. All he cares about is winning. And I think our team took on that personality without a doubt.
And that's who opinion that I would
that's
I would definitely
whose opinion
trust.
Matters. Without now he's having to go on and kind of defend the guy. I find that interesting. He's not going to just say those things unless he means it.
Yeah. No.
All right. Either way, D'Angelo, thank you for joining us.
Thank
Always
you.
Good to get your take. No mercy. Well, the NFL draft is 7 weeks away, and ESPN's Todd McShay put out his latest mock draft this morning. He has Kyler Murray going first to the Cardinals, the other quarterback, Dwayne Haskins, going sixth to the Giants, Mississippi State defensive end Montez Sweat, and Ole Miss receiver DK Metcalf stole the show at the combine, and they both jumped into the top 10. So, Shannon, what was your takeaway from this newest mock?
After all that talk, a lot of it negative about Kyler Murray. Mm-hmm. He's still number one.
Yep.
Also, by Todd McShay's latest mock, 6 of the top 10 picks from what conference, Skip? But I guess they don't play no football in the SEC. Mm-hmm. But that ain't none of my business.
Oh,
Skip, you know, I'm just threw that out there. Skip, I would be very leery of Metcalf. Mm. His injury history and a guy that rolls up the draft board. Now, I don't know how they envision him going into it, but running it as well as he did, lifting as well as he did and jumping as well as he did. But I know a guy that had a very similar career that rolled up the draft board, and where they have him pegged to go, he went in the very same spot 2 years ago. John Ross. Mm. Had some injury history. Had the year before, he tore his ACL.
He did.
Ran 4-2-2, had a great combine, rolls up the draft, Cincinnati. Now it's being reported they're shopping John Ross.
Yeah.
I would always be leery of that. I'm going to watch the tape. Okay. The injury history concerns me. He had a neck issue. Mm-hmm. He overcame that, had a foot issue as a freshman. So injuries always scare me, especially somebody that big and the kind of torque that he puts on his body that's going to be required that he put on his body to get in and out of breaks over and over and over again. Mm. But the biggest takeaway, Skip, there were some negative things about Kyler Murray being, but he's still number one. Mm-hmm. And for most of the mocks that I've seen, he's remained number one.
And he will go number one. I don't want to put words in our man Joel's mouth because he was here, what day was it, Monday? And yet he was with you on DK Metcalf to the point that I'm pretty sure he dropped him more as a second round pick. Mm-hmm. And now Todd McShay has him all the way up at 9. 9?
Yeah.
Wow. So he's a top 10 pick. And I have no problem with him being a top 10 pick. For me, I told you before, I think I told Joel on Monday, I love DK Metcalf's bloodlines, his family tree, his heritage. His grandfather and his uncle were game breakers.
Yeah.
They were two of the all-timers. And you can't tell me he didn't inherit some of that, just that big play ability.
Mm-hmm.
He walks on a field and thinks he's that guy because he can be that guy. Mm-hmm. And I don't care about all the physique and all this. I did see a lot of him. And when you see the highlights and you see the tape,
mm-hmm.
he's a one-hand catcher. He makes spectacular plays. He burned Alabama on their first offensive play of the game.
Yeah.
Just blew right by the corner.
But, Skip, there's not that many plays in the playbook that requires you to run a go route or a post pattern.
Okay.
There are more in and out breaks than post and goals.
Okay. He ran all-time poor short drills, like the cone drill or the, what's it, the?
Short shuttle.
Short shuttle.
Mm-hmm.
He was all-time bad in both. So he's not a route runner, and his route tree was simplistic at best at Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just telling you, he can be beast mode at receiver.
Right.
He is a tight end of a receiver at wideout.
Right.
Who can run that fast. He can run by people, mm-hmm. and he's got weird hands where occasionally he'll drop a ball, but he will make spectacular catches left and right. He will force a defense to honor him.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to honor him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he's so big and so fast and so athletic and can catch the ball anywhere it's thrown. Sometimes the ones in the numbers, not so much. But the point is, the sweat one shocked me because he vaulted all the way up to fifth. And again, I didn't watch that much Mississippi State because they weren't very good. I think they finished 8-5 mm-hmm. this year. But then I look at the numbers, and he quietly piled up 12 and a half sacks
yeah.
in the SEC. That's pretty good. The SEC isn't the Big 12 anymore.
Don't do that, Skip.
Right?
Don't do that.
Because the Big 12 just keeps producing the Heisman winners and first overall picks.
All I know yep. is that they keep reducing the most players selected huh. in the NFL draft. That's all I know.
Really?
Yeah, that's all I know, Skip.
Yeah, I kind of like
I love how you put all his highlights. Where did you see DK Metcalf running, Jenny? No routes.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't see nothing about he getting in and out of breaks.
Mm-hmm.
No out routes, no in cuts, mm-hmm. no digs, mm-hmm. no overs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's going to require a lot. I'm not surprised about Sweat, Skip, because mm-hmm. You play in this conference and you put up those numbers. Okay, now people want to say, well, dang, whoo, he looked quick. Combine confirmed mm-hmm. what they saw on tape.
Yep.
He's quick.
Mm-hmm.
He can run. He can move, and you want that because there's a lot of bubble screens now. Everybody's trying to get the ball because you play in space so mm-hmm. much. Let's just get the ball to the receivers.
Yep.
And the D linemen are going to have to turn and chase.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that drill is. A lot of times you see that now, they turn and chase. You're like, whereas before, D line wasn't turning and chasing. They're like, mm-hmm. oh, I didn't get the quarterback. Oh, well, he gone. Now you have to turn and chase wide receivers and mm-hmm. running backs. They catch a little jailbreak and bubble screens.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not surprised, but I would just be leery. Now, his uncle, Eric Metcalf, went to a couple of Pro Bowls with him.
Mm-hmm.
Skip, he was special. Now,
hmm.
I don't know if he had this kind of speed, but as far as starting and stopping, no, you couldn't touch this kid.
Mm-mm.
I mean, his uncle was special, special.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he was special. I mean, they throw it to him, hand it to him. He run back punts and kickoffs and everything. Now, if he had that kind of start and stop
mm-hmm.
and could run like this, oh, yeah, he should be a top five pick.
Mm-hmm.
But I get it. You know, bloodlines do have a lot to do with it. That's why you see the Mannings, you see the Matthews.
So here's the pick I would be most leery of. The pick of Dwayne Haskins still going six to the Giants, I think would be a long-term mistake for the Giants. I don't think it would get them out of the Eli Manning woods that they're stuck in right now.
Where would you think he would go?
I'm with The Athletic. It came to the conclusion last week in its analysis, he's a second-round pick. And I believe that. And I watched the whole combine on Saturday. Mm-hmm. He was maybe just had a bad day because he can't put too much stock in the combine, but he was inaccurate all day. His body language wasn't commanding to me. When Deshaun Watson was at the combine that day, he just took over the quarterback group, and it was clear. He's the alpha.
Right.
He's the leader of this group. And I didn't see it from Dwayne. I like the numbers
he put up.
Well,
maybe he's a quiet leader.
Okay, maybe he is. I don't know. But then I watched three of his receivers. Paris Campbell and McLaurin and Johnny Dixon, that they just blazed. They're 4-3, 4-3, 4-4-1. And I'm thinking, wow, he's got that much firepower at receiver.
That's why he had 50 touchdown passes.
Yeah,
right?
That's why he
had 4,800 yards, Skip.
And the problem the Athletic had with him, he threw so many underneath passes that turned into big plays.
Right.
A lot of checkdowns, a lot of underneath routes.
You ain't got no problem with Tom Brady doing that.
Tom Brady can throw it over your head.
You ain't got no problem with Tom Brady throwing on him.
See that pass to Gronk?
How many go routes he throw to Julian Edelman?
Tom Brady threw for 505 yards in a Super Bowl.
Broke the
all-time record.
He did all that.
Yeah.
Tom Brady is all-time great.
Were those checkdowns?
I'm just asking you a simple question, Skip. Mm. You have no problem with him fishing around the edges.
Well, fishing around, but he can throw it over your head, too.
Oh, Dwayne Haskins didn't throw no bombs?
I'm sure he threw some to Paris Campbell. I hope he did.
Yeah.
Paris Campbell ran 4-3-1.
It's hard for me to believe that all 50 touchdowns came on short routes and the receiver broke tackle and got into the end zone.
And the Athletic also concluded that he struggles a little bit when he gets any pressure in the pocket, because I don't think he got a lot of pressure.
What quarterback didn't get pressure? You remember in Denver when Tom Brady got pressure? How'd he look, Skip?
Yeah.
And 2 years before that, how'd he look, Skip?
Yeah.
What quarterback doesn't struggle when somebody putting a helmet up under their chin?
Yeah. Alabama tried to put the heat on Kyler, but, boy, he just
got it.
Just started
Quinny Williams. Yeah. He put him in that rear naked choke.
Yep.
Yeah, had him helmet twisted.
How did Kyler do all that damage to Nick Saban's defense without Hollywood Brown?
What damage?
Didn't have him.
What damage?
What damage?
Yeah. Oh, you talking about that damage in the second half? When the game was out of reach?
Did some damage.
Oh, you did a lot of damage.
28 nothing.
Shannon.
Before you knew it, Jim.
Just that's your team.
28 nothing. No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. See you then.
Facts. Sports. One of one.